Good morning and welcome to Plank Chapel.
Good morning.
We are blessed to have all of you with us today and those that are attending online. Our mission is to make disciples of Jesus Christ and impact the community through faith and action. My name's Wayne Young. For those online that may not know me, I'm the liturgist for today. And our announcements today are Unashamed Gospel Singing will be this afternoon at 5 o'clock at Union Chapel Church. The address is in the bulletin. Churchwide prayer gathering will be held on Wednesday, and this is an in-person event. It's on July the 15th at 7 p.m., and it's here in the sanctuary, and it's open to everyone. And Plank Chapel will be featured in the North Carolina Rules Center July 2026 newsletter. The impact story will highlight the church's rich history and involvement in Connect Church and God's preferred future for the church. So look for that, and I'm sure that'll be sent out electronically. Yep. Journey will meet on Sunday the 26th from 4 to 6, and all children and youth ages 5 to 18 are invited. Pastor Edgar will lead an acolyte training on July the 30th at 2:30 p.m. here in the sanctuary. And any that are interested with young ones that would like to be trained and become an acolyte, please get up with him and make him aware of who that may be. And a reminder from Scott and Donna Rose, there are still copies of the social directory in the back. So if you haven't picked up one for your kitchen counter, your coffee room, or coffee table in your living room, go ahead and grab one so that you have it. It's quick access and lots of information about folks that attend Plank Chapel. Other announcements. All right. So before we move into our call to worship, I want to wrap up the announcement part with, let's just call this a moment to ponder and think about a certain topic. And the topic is, why do people attend church? Not to be confused with the topic of why do people belong to a church. It's two different, very different questions. So sometimes I find myself in the need of just refreshing myself and making sure that I'm grounded. And this question has been on my mind for a couple of weeks now, so I wanted to share this with you. And this is an overview of that question. Why do people attend church? People go to church for a variety of spiritual, personal, and social reasons. While individual motivations differ, the most common reasons include spiritual connection. Number one, spiritual connection. The primary motivator for most attendees is the desire to feel closer to God, participate in worship, and receive spiritual nourishment. Spiritual nourishment. Number two, community and support. Congregation serves as a second family, offering social connection, emotional support in times of sorrow, and a built-in network of like-minded individuals. Just think about it. Times of sorrow, who comes? Your church family. Number three, moral foundation. And this is important to young folks. Many parents attend to pass on their values and provide their children with a strong moral and ethical framework. And how many of us, when we were young folks, not only did we hear our parents when we were getting ready to do something we knew we weren't supposed to, we heard our parents, but we also heard a Sunday school teacher and a pastor. So moral foundation, very important to instill those values in young people. Number four, guidance and education. Services provide teaching and guidance on how to interpret Scripture, live better lives, and navigate personal challenges. How to interpret Scripture. And last but not least, service and ministry. It provides a structured environment to one's spiritual gifts on how to use your spiritual gifts, volunteer, and give back to the community. Very important. Many times we come and do things at church and we go home, we just have that good feeling inside that we've done something positive for our community. While some attend out of habit or a sense of a religious obligation, the majority find that gathering provides a unique sense of peace, accountability, and purpose. So ponder on that, and you can do this search at home. Why do people attend church? All right, let's move to our call to worship. When the Lord seems far away,
may we place our faith in God.
When God's face is hidden from us,
may we put our trust in God's steadfast love.
When our souls bear the pain of earthly trials,
may we seek God's strength, lest we break.
Let us place our trust in God's goodness and mercy.
Our hearts rejoice in God's salvation.
And join me in our opening prayer. God of pain and suffering, embrace us in our need. As we enter this house of worship, you know our deepest needs, and you help us embrace our sincerest hopes. Live in us this day and quicken our spirits, that we may rise above the storms that threaten to overcome us. We ask this in the name of the one who came to bring us abundant life, Jesus the Christ. Amen. And stand if you're able, and let's join in the singing of hymn 154, All Hail the Power of Jesus' Name, 154. Affirmation of faith. I believe in God, the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born under the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, dead, and buried. The third day he rose from the dead. He ascended into heaven and sitteth at the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From thence shall come to judge the quick and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen.
You may all be seated. I greet you all in the name of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. God is good. Church, we can do better than that. God is good. All the time. All the time, God is good. We are grateful to be here today. I also want to thank you for those who are worshiping with us online. As always, we are a Christian community that comes together both in person and online. And we have been blessed to have people from all different places joining us on this service as well. We invite you just to put your name on the chat room, and we're glad to acknowledge your presence among us. I want to thank Wayne for your introductory statement about why we come to church. That was a great reminder for us. As I sit down here, I was reflecting that we are the church, and we are also bringing the church wherever we go. It does not fixate us on the location of the church, but it's important for us to come and be together as one body in Christ. Amen? I remember growing up, I was being dragged by my mom and my dad going to church. And that never left in my habit. And I'm sure for many of you here, you were also had that same experience as well. So I prayed, and we prayed, that we would not lose the habit of coming to church. Because that is part of our own, for our spiritual nourishment. And that's the way for us to be fed and to be nourished. It's like you're coming to a gas station and putting your gas on your vehicle. We cannot survive without being a part of a Christian community. Most especially when we hit some trials and challenges. When we come to situations where we cannot do it on our own, we rely upon the church to strengthen us, to encourage us. And so I'm speaking this to all of us here. Keep coming back. Keep connecting into the life of the church. This is for your own need. This is for all our needs. And I thank God for those who are faithful in coming to church. I was reminded that this church has what you call the perfect attendance church, right, Miss Donald Rose? Someone reminded me of Miss Donald Rose this week of having this perfect attendance, and got a great chance to visit Ben and Jackie Brown this past week, and they reminded me about this perfect attendance that Miss Donald Rose had. Let's have that as a habit, not forsaking to come together in worship, not forsaking to come together to feel our well for our own sake and for the sake of the generation that will come after us. So how is it with our soul this past week? Where do we see God at work in our lives this past week? Last week, I was just rejoicing to have new members in our church joining us, Joni and of course, Beth and Chuck. Again, let's give a hand to God that they are officially part of us. For those that have missed that, it was just a joy, and thanking God for the gifts and graces that you all been already giving in the life of the church. Any other praise that we want to share? I'm, I'm so glad to see Tim and Mitch there at the back. And just thanking God for their resilience, their courage, their determination. And just having them here in our midst give joy in my heart as well. So thank God. He walked in here. Shall we thank God for that? That's a great testimony. Any other praise and prayer concerns that we want to pray for? We continue on to pray for Brian. He's doing baby steps as well in healing, and he has some more appointments. I had a chance to talk with Wayne Pendergrast, prayed over him as we shared this past Sunday, the death of the passing away of Margie, who's a member of our church here. Prayers with him. We also heard the passing away of Pam Cobb's father, David Howell. He's a member of another church, but Pam and Cobb is our church family, and we are lifting them up in prayers as well. The family of Nicole Fraser has also been lifted up. You probably don't know her, but you probably know her son, who is Pastor Radford Fraser of Union Chapel Church. For some of you are engaged in ministry with Union Chapel through Senior Circle and also through the revival. That was his mother that passed away, Nicole Fraser. Later on this afternoon, we will be there at Union Chapel Church, and I hope you will not miss the Unashamed Gospel Sing. That's a great concert. Thank you, Miss Judy, for reminding us about that event. So we need to continue on to pray for Pastor Radford and his family in this time of loss and grief. I understand we have a new president of Lewisburg College, as I saw it here, Lorraine. I know we've been praying for you on this transition. What's his name again? Richard Campbell, who is no stranger, I believe, in our conference, also in our Christian community, so in the Methodist community. So our prayers are with Richard Campbell, the new president of Lewisburg College. And I told Miss Lorraine if we can invite him to come so we can lay and pray for him. Maybe once his schedule allows him, he will be here with us. Deborah, we're so blessed to have you here. We've been praying for you as well. Thank you for God's continuing healing for Deborah. Yes, yeah. Yeah, it's been also weighing heavily in the hearts of many people who have loved ones in Venezuela. Thousands, I believe, are still missing. When situation like this, we see crying out in desperation. But at the same time, we see how this nation is helping Venezuela right now, sending so many help, troops and military, despite the strained relationship over the years. The generous people of the American, called the America, are always there. So thank you, Wayne. Our prayers are with the people of Venezuela. We have a Methodist congregation in Venezuela. Let's pray for all the pastors that are transitioning. Some of them are on the way on U-Haul, coming in and getting ready for their first Sunday in the pulpit on Sunday next week. Some of them are moving, and also praying for the churches that are receiving those new pastors and also sending off their pastors. That's how the Methodist works. We are like military. We are sent to different places. But by the grace of God, we through the power of the Holy Spirit, we will thrive in places that God will send us.
John? I'd like to recognize Tim Smith. We make part of our mission statement.
That reminds us of the scattering of the seeds. We scatter the seeds everywhere. But God does the harvest. It is God that will fertilize it and will make it to where it will be. And Joni, you were the result of God's working through Tim and Midge's life. It is the Holy Spirit that is at work. So thanks be to God for that witness today. I'm sure that 20 years Tim has not given up on you. Did you hear that, Tim? I know he's very humble to not to acknowledge the gifts that he gave to you. So let's pray for our plan for July 15th prayer gathering. This is very important for us to come in prayer. As you all know, my first Sunday here 3 years ago, it didn't happen in the context of Sunday worship. My first gathering at Plank Chapel was in the context of prayer. We came together and we prayed together. I'm going to share this more to you during the preaching time as to why we need to do this and why we need to pray together now more than ever. But just mark your calendar, July the 15th. I want all of us to be here and bring other people. It's open for everyone. And I also invited Bethel Church as well to come. And Gary Dickerson is coming also from Bethel Church to assist me. I extend my invitation also to Pastor Caroline, if she can be able to come and join us here. Well, I know Pastor Caroline is not available, but let this be a moment of renewal and centering our hearts and minds into the mind of God so that we can hear what He wants to say to us as we begin anew our time together, as we move forward to reinvigorate, to revive, to strengthen, and to grow God's church. Amen? So please come and join us on July the 15th. Let us pray. Oh, merciful God, first and foremost, I want to thank you, God, for bringing us here. We thank you for the rain. We know that there are places that didn't have rain this past week, but there are places that got rain. And so we thank you for that. And we thank you, Lord, for intersecting our lives this morning. We thank you that there are some who are not here today, traveling for summer vacation. And we are grateful that they arrive in their destination safe and sound. And Lord, I just want to thank you for the words of wisdom that Wayne just shared a while ago on why we come to church and why church is important in our lives. And may we not lose that habit. May we teach that habit to the next generation that will come after us, so that we can nourish our spirits, our minds, and our bodies, and replenish our energies that's so much needed as we battle a world that is so much filled with brokenness, hopelessness, anxieties and fear, and all other problems. And as we travel the difficult paths of life, it is easy, Lord, to forget that you are always there with us, even when we feel abandoned and alone. Help us to move beyond our anguish, Holy One, that we might set aside our self-absorption, even as we seek your salvation. Lead us in the ways of life, for we yearn to feel your presence amid our deepest despair. Forgive us of all of our sins, Lord, and elevate our hearts and minds above our fear and doubts, that we may embrace your grace and mercy. In gratitude and trust, we pray this in the name of Jesus Christ, who invite and call us to pray. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. Friends, even amid seasons of doubt and grief, God offers us eternal life through the love of Christ Jesus our Lord. Thanks be to God. Amen. Having received mercy and love from God, I invite us all to share mercy and love with one another, to your neighbors this morning, both now as we share Christ's peace and throughout the weeks ahead. So you can wave your hands, you can handshake, you can hug each other in whatever you feel comfortable. In lieu of a special music from the choir, Miss Janet will offer us a special music. Amen. Thank you. Let's go. I'm going to give you a little quiz this morning. What do you think happens in 1959 here at Plank Chapel Church? What is something that started in 1959? Make a guess. In 1959, we started the barbecue. I finally saw that on the history of the church. 1959, the barbecue began at Plank Chapel United Methodist Church. Isn't that amazing? 1959. As I do that research, I was just amazed to see. And I think I checked that with Mac. Mac knows this more than I do. But that was just the beginning, because in 1961, another amazing thing happened. We built the parsonage in 1961. I'm sharing this to you all because, as what Wayne just mentioned to you, that's what church is. As people gather, they begin to discern what the will of God is. As they come together and worship and learn more about the will of God, we begin to think about how can we support our community. And the barbecue has been a permanent fixture in the life of this church. It has made thousands and thousands of barbecues. But at the same time, it has impacted so many lives, because through the giving, we're able to put up handicap ramp. What else? Support ministries, children and youth. We extended so much help through the Methodist men on the work of God beyond this place. It all began when God planted that seed to the people of God called Plank Chapel Church in 1959. And as we geared towards the November 6th barbecue, we're continuing that legacy. As we invite our ushers to come forward to give our tithes and offering, may we give with grateful hearts as we offer our gifts of tithes and offering at this time. Our generous God, from generation to generation, you have been there with the people of God. And we have seen the power of your generosity, even today in our lives, by giving us all the provisions that we need to carry on your work for the sake of your kingdom. And so, Father God, we offer back to you a portion of what you already have given to us. Accept this, O God, bless all the people that have given these gifts, young and old, as we fulfill your mission to make disciples of Jesus Christ and impact our community through faith in action. In the name of your Son, Jesus Christ, we offer these gifts. Amen. Let us remain standing again, if you're able, number 472, as we join our voices together. You may all be seated. As we prepare our hearts and minds in reading God's word this morning, we come together for the prayer of illumination. So I invite us all as we pray together. Gracious God, your word is a lamp to our feet and a light to our path. Give us grace to receive your truth in faith and love, and strength to follow on the path you set before us. Through Jesus Christ. Amen. I invite us all to open on the Acts of the Apostle. It's also known as the Book of Acts. For others, it's Acts of the Apostle. So, if you have your Bible with you, and whatever version you may have, for those also worshiping with us online, you are also invited to pick up your Bible wherever you are, or open your cell phone. I think we need to have a habit of bringing our Bible to the church. That's the one I learned over the years, not just a pastor, but when I was still a young person. And my Bible here now is kind of run down. They said it's falling apart, actually. But I think the more you use the Bible, the more it shows how much we are serious in the Word of God. And grounding ourselves, that's what Wayne said, feeling our well, making sure that, making a habit of connecting ourselves, because this will help us grow and deepen our faith in God. And I know that all of us are still a work in progress, including myself. So, our text this morning is Acts chapter 6. We're just going to read the first 7 verses. Now, during those days when the disciples were increasing in number, the Hellenists complained against the Hebrews because their widows were being neglected in the daily distribution of food. And the 12 called together the whole community of the disciples and said, it's not right that we should neglect the word of God in order to wait on tables. Therefore, friends, select from among yourselves 7 men of good standing, full of the Spirit and of wisdom, whom we may appoint to this task. While we, for our part, will devote ourselves, and hear this prayer, hear this church, devote ourselves to prayer and to serving the word. What they said pleased the whole community, and they chose Stephen, a man full of faith and the Holy Spirit, together with Philip, Prochorus, Nicanor, Timon, Parmenas, Nicolaus, and a proselyte of Antioch. This had these men standing before the apostles, who prayed and laid their hands on them. The word of God continued to spread. The number of the disciples increased greatly in Jerusalem, and a great many of the priests became obedient to the faith. This is the word of God for us, the people of God. Thanks be to God. Today we are continuing our series on Better Together. But for the next 3 weeks, our emphasis will be on the importance of praying together. This came about as a result of conversation with the PPRC last Wednesday, or I believe Tuesday. And also partly it's driven by my discernment on where I believe God is leading us as we move forward in the coming weeks and months ahead. As you all know, my first Sunday here 3 years ago, I began my ministry here that is bathed with prayer. For many of you, some of you were here. And through that prayer, I began to understand more about Plank Chapel. I began to understand more what is God's plan for our ministry together and where I believe God is heading us. I believe that this coming July 15 is also as pivotal as it was 3 years ago. Because prayer helps us connect back to the will of God. Prayer opens up our own dependence on the will of God to help us understand where he wants us to be today, not just as individuals, but also as the body of Christ. That's why we're going to talk about the importance of, first, we're going to talk about the importance of personal prayer in our discipleship walk with God. But then, the major portion of God's word today would be on what the Bible has to say on the priority of praying together, on communal prayer. Let us pray. Lord, I just want to thank you for this blessing of being the bearer of your word. And Lord, I know that I'm not deserving of this, Lord. But because of you, Lord, and through the work of your Spirit, help me, Lord, to be out of your way. And may you be at the center of this word. Speak to us again your word. And may we leave this place, oh God, renewed, refreshed, and transformed. In the name of Jesus we pray. Amen. Just talk to me a little bit about what do you think prayer is? Just speak from where you are. What do you think prayer is? A communication. And I'm pretty sure that communication is a back and forth communication to God and God responding. In fact, someone reminded me today at the Bethel Church that all prayers are answered in three ways. Yes, no, and wait. Isn't that amazing? And I said to the oldest, one of the oldest members there at Bethel, perhaps because no, because God loves us and he wants it to do it according to his own way. And sometimes we do make a lot of prayers that are unreasonable or unattainable, right? What else, aside from prayer as a communication, what is prayer? Correct, yeah. Correct. Thank you, Deborah. Just be open. At the awakenings this morning, people are beginning to share what they have. And someone said there, people don't pray too much because we are afraid of opening up ourselves to God. Because it exposes our vulnerabilities, right? It put us into a posture of submission and surrender. And that's not what we want to do, right? We almost, it's conflicting for us because we have this sinful pride that keeps us from listening and talking to God and connecting with God. So thank you. Thank you, Deborah, for sharing that. Anybody else? What is prayer for you? Conversation with God. And conversation can be as plain as simple. It doesn't need to be complex. It can be in utter silence. It can be as loud as you can. It's like you're talking to a friend. Thank you, Miss Donald Rose. Think about those moments in your life wherein you were taught by your church and by your pastor and your parents about prayer. When was the first time you experienced praying? I ask this question because I think it's very important for us to have this a sense of remembering. Where did it all begin? How our minds and our hearts were shaped by prayer. I'm very sure that many of you here today were partly influenced by your moms and dad who brought you to the church, who reared you and who sometimes they drag you to the church to make sure that you pray against your will. Perhaps. And now it's become part of your habit. You've been formed and shaped You've been transformed through the power of the Holy Spirit. Because prayer is a spiritual lifeline for every believer. It is a direct communication. It's a direct channel to God and with God. The Bible says, pray continually or unceasingly. 1 Thessalonians 5:17. Is there anyone among you in trouble? Let them. Come on, church. Pray. James chapter 5, verse 13. Draw near to God and he will draw near to you. James chapter 4, verse 8. Through prayer, we fellowship with the Heavenly Father and receive that divine instruction and align our minds and our hearts in the mind of Christ. That is why a prayerless Christian is a powerless Christian. In the life of every believer, prayer is both a shield and a weapon. It is a shield from those fiery darts of the enemy. It empowers us to take hold of our own territory or take the kingdom of God as our territory. It is a means through which God's power is released into our lives. Without prayer, every believer remains vulnerable to every spiritual attack, the strongholds, principalities and powers, and other schemes of the enemy. Prayer makes us more like Jesus, because Jesus' life was marked by prayer. If you all remember, he prayed early in the morning. He always goes to the wilderness. He prayed before choosing his disciples. He prayed even in the cross. If you look at the life of Jesus, we see that he prayed with others, for others, and on his own. If the Son of God needed to pray, how much more should we? Prayer is not optional. In fact, it is essential in our victorious Christian life. Prayer shows the heart of God. When Jesus prayed at the Garden of Gethsemane in John 17, he prayed that all may be one, just as you are in me. Prayer helps us become one with the Father and have the kind of relationship Jesus had with the Father. And as we grow to love him, we want to be like him. Prayer reveals the wisdom of God. As what some of you says, it's been a conversation that goes both directions. When we talk to God, we spend more time with God. And because we spend more time with God, we begin to hear what he has to say to us, and we begin to align all the things we do in our lives, whether it's our schedule, it's our priorities, it's our habits, the words we say, our pocketbooks, becomes in alignment with the will of God, because we keep on asking the Lord, Lord, how can I be able to fulfill your will? How can I be able to align my minds to your mind? But given all of this, why is it that we are having a hard time praying? What's keeping us from praying? What's holding us? You know, every time I see people in the public spaces praying, it amazes me. I'm sure some of you have experienced that as well. You know, you go to a restaurant and you see families holding hands together and praying. Isn't that amazing to see in such a time as this? But we don't see a lot of that anymore. It's like we're privatizing everything. And we're sort of kind of in fear of publicly sharing our prayers, our prayer life to others. But as much as we need to have this kind of a personal prayer life, we also need to pray together. The Bible tells us that praying together is as vital and important as praying individually. The practice of praying together is deeply rooted in the scripture. In the Old Testament, if you happen to go back in the Old Testament, there's a lot of communal prayers. Prayer in community by Israelites. They gathered together to seek God's guidance and deliverance against the enemies, against those principalities and powers at that time. And in the New Testament, Jesus himself underscores the importance of collective prayer. In Matthew chapter 18, he says, "Again, I tell you, if two of you on the earth agree about anything you ask for, it will be done for you by my Father in heaven. For where two or three are, gather together in my name, there am I with them." I learned growing up having this kind of Christian virtue that was planted in me by my parents. And I'm sure you heard this before. A family that prays together stays together. That's pretty true, right? And we have somehow lost that time together. And I remember growing up making sure we pray together before the meal is taken and also before we get to bed. Because we acknowledge that there is a power in praying together. Remember those moments when you held hands together with someone in the operating room. When a bunch of church folks came over and you held hands together in prayer. Praying for your loved ones. How about praying together in worship? Or in prayer meetings? One of those moments, and Tim, I'm so glad that you and Midge are here. I remember when we have to stop, this is almost 3 years ago. I remember when we have to stop everything that we have done because we received a call that Tim was rushed in the hospital. Do you remember those moments? He was rushed there in the hospital because he got this burn on his body. And when I immediately had the phone hang up, I asked, can we just stop what we're doing and let's go ahead and pray? You all remember that? I could not forget that because it's one clear example of the power of praying together. That moment, I know that probably Tim was in a life and death situation. He didn't know at that time what would be the end of the story. But we knew we need to pray. We knew we need to ask God for intervention. We knew that they need our prayers. And lo and behold, that prayer was partly answered by having Tim and Midge overcame. I know that it was not an easy journey as I've been there with them throughout this time. But think about those moments on how God have used that praying together. On becoming a vessel. Something powerful happened there. Only God knows. And I'm sure that for us who were there at that moment, we were all changed as well. Praying together is a vital key to opening up God's presence and work among his people in unique ways. Praying together was a priority for the apostles. As this chapter begins with the rapid multiplication of disciples, there's this kind of an infighting between the Hellenists and the Hebrews. As you notice on the text, they're sort of kind of in disagreement together and because they found out that there are widows that are not receiving those food distribution. And the word distribution here in Greek word means diakonia, where the word deacon came from. So the emphasis is on serving people. What are we going to do? The widows are not getting the food that they need. So what the apostles did is that they gathered or appointed seven men of good standing, full of spirit, full of wisdom, to oversee the distribution of all those resources. And guess what? What they did in verse 4 to do that? They first devoted themselves in what? In prayer and in serving the word. This is on verse 4. They're not referring for a private personal prayer. Instead, they were talking about ministry of mobilizing people of God to pray together. Because they acknowledge that it is our priority to align ourselves into the mind of Christ. Without praying together, it will not, our plans will not take place at all. Praying together was not just a priority for the disciples, but also this praying together is also evident, not just in Acts chapter 6, but in the other parts of the book of Acts. If we begin on Acts chapter 1, verse 13, 120 were gathered in an upper room praying in one accord when Pentecost comes. This is not just one person praying. This is 120 of them praying for the Holy Spirit to come. The disciples prayed for wisdom in knowing who Judas' replacement should be in Acts chapter 1, verse 24. When Peter and John reported the Sanhedrin threats, those gathered cried out to God in one accord for boldness. And the place was shaken where they prayed. Church, I'm not saying here that praying alone are not important. We all know from the scripture, Ananias was praying alone when God instructed him to go to Saul. Peter was alone on the rooftop when he had his famous vision leading him to share the gospel of Christ with the Gentiles named Cornelius. But here's my point here. The majority of God's recorded workings came when his people prayed together. The focus is on God's people praying together. And the apostles considered praying together as a critical priority, much as preaching and teaching the word of God. Finally, praying together was modeled and practiced by Christ himself. Of the 37 instances in which Jesus refers to prayer as recorded in the scripture, 33 of them were addressed to a plural rather than a singular audience. For example, in Matthew chapter 7, verse 7, y'all remember what it says there, what Jesus says, "Keep asking and it will be given to you. Keep searching and you will find. Keep knocking and the door will be open to you." You all remember those verbs, ask and seek and knock? They were all imperative mood, and they are directed towards a plural audience, which means that the actions can be performed by each one of us, and yet they are directed for everyone, to the whole community, and intended to a group of people. Since 1780, Plank Chapel United Methodist Church has been praying together. This week, we're going to be celebrating our 250 years of the Declaration of Independence. Think about that. We're only four, and help me, Scott, with the number, 4 or 5 years shy away from that 250 years. We have a long history, a rich history of a church that is praying together. We have a long history of a church that saw the need of praying together. Faithful saints of this church recognize the need to pray together for each one's needs, for the need of the community and the world. And they pray together Sunday after Sunday. They prayed together during the week. They prayed for healing and for comfort and forgiveness and revival. And we pray together even now And I thank our prayer warriors who's been joining with me every Wednesday, praying since the time that God has sent us here. We have never failed to meet together for prayer. Friends, as we prepare ourselves for the July 15 churchwide prayer gathering, I invite you to ask this question. What is your prayer for life today? Have you been praying lately to God? What's keeping you in praying to God? What's holding you back? Let's prioritize praying together. Through prayer, we as a church will overcome and move mountains. And through our collective prayers, we will be fruitful and flourishing and thriving and growing as we engage ourselves in the making of disciples. We are all in this together. Amen? Let us come together and invite you all to pray for the July 15th gathering. And through our collective prayers, may we trust the Lord as He always listened to us so that we can align our hearts and our minds into the mind of Christ. In the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. And all the people of God said, Amen. There's a beautiful hymn, number 133 in your hymnal, Leaning on the Everlasting Arms. And I believe we have to lean on the everlasting arms every day. Shall we all stand, if you're able, as we join our voices together? Number 133. Friends, as we heard from the Word of God today, let's prioritize praying together. There's a power in praying together as we chart God's preferred future for His church here at Plank Chapel. May we always align our minds in the mind of Christ. May we set aside our own individual agenda and let's focus on the main thing. And what is God calling us to be and God calling us to do? And when we align our minds in the mind of Christ, God will ever be faithful to increase, to grow, and to make our ministry and our church a thriving and a healthy and vibrant church. As we prepare ourselves for the July 15 church gathering, I hope that we will center our minds into the mind of Christ. And may the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the communion of His Holy Spirit lives and reign with us, now and forevermore. Amen.